वासुदेवे भगवती
वासुदेवे भगवती
भक्ति योगा प्रयोजतः
भक्ति योगा
जनयत्या शुभैराग्यं
प्रयोजतः
ज्ञानं यद्भ्रमदर्शनम्। Engagement in Krishna consciousness, an application of devotional service unto Krishna, make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment, as well as in self-realization. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said by less intelligent men that bhakti yoga, or devotional service, is meant for persons who are not advanced in transcendental knowledge and renunciation. But the fact is that if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, he does not have to separately practice detachment or wait for an awakening of transcendental knowledge. It is said that one who engages unflinchingly in devotional service of the Lord actually has all the good qualities of the demigods develop in him automatically. One cannot discover how such good qualities develop in the body of a devotee, but actually it happens. There is one instance where a hunter was taking pleasure in killing animals, but after becoming a devotee, he was not prepared to even kill an ant. Such is the quality of a devotee. Those who are very eager to advance in transcendental knowledge can engage themselves in pure devotional service without wasting time in mental speculation. For arriving at the positive conclusions of knowledge and the absolute truth, the word Brahma Darshanam is significant in this verse. Brahma Darshanam means to realize or to understand the transcendence. One who engages in the service of Vasudev can actually realize what Brahman is. If Brahman is impersonal, then there is no question of darshanam, which means seeing face to face. Darshanam refers to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Unless the seer and the seen are persons, there is no darshanam. Brahma Darshana means that as soon as one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can at once realize what impersonal Brahman is. A devotee does not need to make separate investigations to understand the nature of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. A devotee at once becomes a self-realized soul.
Hare Krishna.
Lord Kapila Dev has spoken in the previous chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, extensively about the nature of this material world, how it is operating, under whose control it is operating, how the living entity becomes implicated in various types of suffering due to the laws of material nature. It is called Sankhya philosophy, a very deep, profound, analytical study of God, the soul, material nature, and the relationships between these factors. Lord Kapila Dev has explained in a scientific way, subjects that are unfathomable to even the greatest researchers of the science of material nature. What to speak of consciousness? Because Lord Kapila Dev is the Supreme Absolute Truth. He is the incarnation of the Lord. He is the creator. He is the controller. Therefore, he knows perfectly exactly how everything is working. Srila Prabhupada was very strong on this particular subject. That it is simply a waste of time for people to spend billions and trillions of dollars annually doing research on how and why the world is what it is. Because everything's already there. The Creator has already explained it perfectly. Simply, instead of spending billions of dollars of the taxpayers' money in scientific research about the space, research about the planet, about the oceans, about the land, all you have to do is just go to any airport. For $5 or less, you can buy Srimad Bhagavatam, and every answer is there. Authoritatively. The theories of Srimad Bhagavatam do not change year by year. Amongst the various mundane philosophers of this world, or scientists, one works so hard to present a theory, and then others work so hard to defeat their theory. And there's always different conceptions. That classic example, when they were doing geological, anthropological research about the progress of the lower species coming into human form. They had this whole timetable, step by step. First there were apes, then there was these Neanderthal men who were kind of like apes, but they were gradually developing by natural selection certain more refined qualities over time. And I don't remember all the details, but there was one particular finding in the British island, and they found this particular skeleton, bones, and this was the missing link that was so much bewildering people, how from one stage to another it could have possibly come about. So it was in all the textbooks, all over the world. It was an accepted scientific fact. And then later on, they found out that some rogue who just wanted a reputation and money and wanted to make his little town famous actually created the whole thing. It wasn't even real bones. It was a farce, a hoax. But already, millions of textbooks for a whole decade have already been read with this as the fact, the truth of how man has come about. So it's the world of the cheaters and the cheated. So much speculation. I remember Prabhupada, they asked him a question about the stars and the planets and the moon. And Prabhupada, in a very simple way, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam explains all the various planetary systems and what's happening on all these planets and how you can attain these planets through various types of pious activities or mystic yoga. Prabhupada had all the knowledge, but he explained it all very simple. They asked him about the planets and the sky, the stars. He said, it is as Krishna just painted it on. The stars, the moon, Krishna just painted it on the sky. That's all. This is very profound scientific realization. That everything is done ultimately by a person. All the details, the Vedic literatures fill in, but the essence is it's all been created by a person. It's all his transcendental pastime creating this material existence. And destroying the material existence, maintaining it for some time. So here we find such profound description of mysteries that people have been speculating upon, but no one has actually come to any real conclusion in millenniums of thought and research. That is what we discover in the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. And then his conclusion to his mother Devahuti, that after understanding all of this, it's all a useless waste of time if you don't come to the conclusion that Krishna is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything. He is the absolute truth. He is the goal of life, and you should take shelter of him through devotional service. If all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of austerities we may perform, if the conclusion is we do not take shelter of Krishna, sarameva kevalam, it is all simply a waste of time. Just like a devotee. A devotee may work really hard to make money. And then with that money, he decides, I'm going to cook a wonderful feast, and works for days preparing preparations. But then he never offers it to Krishna. He does everything, but he just never brings it on the altar and offers it to Krishna. It's all a waste of time. Once you offer it to Krishna, then everything else you've done in the process is glorious. It's devotional service. Materialistic people, they're performing so many activities which are simply ugra karma, just foaming at the mouth, working so hard, waste of time. Sometimes devotees do the same exact activities, but in the end they offer it to Krishna. And therefore everything is auspicious from the beginning to the end, because the conclusion is right. So final conclusion of understanding everything about this material existence, God and the living entity, is to take shelter of Krishna wholeheartedly. And here Lord Kapila Dev is explaining that if you simply take shelter of Krishna and engage in the process of devotional service, then automatically all knowledge, all renunciation are given by the Lord's mercy. There's really no need for anything else. Srila Prabhupada was not very concerned with how austere we were. He was not really concerned with how learned we were. He was simply concerned with how sincerely we were engaged in the process of devotional service, how much we really wanted to serve and please the spiritual master, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. In fact, one of his very close disciples and associates, he had a strong, strong inclination toward scholarly studies of Vedas, Vaishnav theology, comparative religion. And he was always carrying around so many books. And he was constantly reading various commentaries and so forth. Prabhupada would call him Panditji. But from time to time, Prabhupada would tell him, you're just wasting your time. There's no need to know so much. Just engage in devotional service, and Krishna will give you realization of everything. In fact, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Sanatana Goswami, and the whole world through him, that one of the principles of devotional service is not to read too many books. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, we have given Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. These four books are really all we need to achieve the ultimate perfection of life. And we may study other books to further support the teachings of these four essential books. But if we go too much immersed in reading all of other books, we actually become like jnanis. It becomes a type of sense gratification. I know so much. The six Goswamis, they researched all the Vedic literatures. In doing so, they were able to establish the principles that Srimad Bhagavatam tells all in all. There's no need for any other book than Srimad Bhagavatam. And they researched all the other Vedas to prove that point. But still, they remained completely humble, completely immersed in a service attitude. But the tendency for people is too much knowledge disturbs their desire to serve, disturbs the principle of humility. Sometimes even people become hard-hearted by becoming too detached and too austere. So certainly, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to very carefully understand the Vaishnava philosophy. But he especially wanted that we learn it through his books, because it was safe and direct. And as an embellishment, we could read some other books, but we shouldn't get too much absorbed in all of that. Because what we're here for is not knowledge. What we're here for is realization, to please Krishna. And actually, we have seen that many of these people who read so many books and so many commentaries and become so incredibly learned scholars, citing all kinds of evidence to support their ideas on the basis of Vaishnava scriptures, in due course of time, they actually lose their faith. They actually lose their faith in devotional service. They lose their faith even in a personal God. How is that possible? They're reading year after year after year the commentaries of the greatest acharyas who are worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan. But they lose their faith. The reason is because Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina satudarshana. We should inquire from the spiritual masters submissively, not with the desire to acquire knowledge, but with a desire to serve. Not with the desire to become learned, but with the desire to surrender. And we find also detachment, renunciation. Although Raghunath Das Goswami is such an embodiment of renunciation, we should follow in his footsteps. But if we artificially put too much of our consciousness on trying to be renounced, Prabhupada says it causes hard-heartedness. Bhakti means soft-heartedness. The whole process of bhakti is to make our heart soft, like butter. Then Krishna will steal it. That's the perfection of our life. But we're trying to become Krishna conscious by performing all kinds of tapasya, and in the process our heart is getting hard. We're getting more proud. We're becoming more indifferent to personalities. Sometimes even detachment, if it's artificially done, one becomes excessively self-centered. Instead of being paradukaduki, thinking my only difficulty is to try to solve other people's problems, we become so absorbed in just torturing ourselves through fasting and giving up sleep and giving up all of our bodily necessities that we're just thinking about our bodies all the time. We're thinking about how renounced we are. We're thinking about how everybody else is just sense enjoyers. I'm fasting on Ekadasi, and he's eating vegetables. Sense enjoyer, fallen soul. Hare Krishna. We may say, oh, you are very nice, but in our heart we may be thinking like this, I am better than you. It's hard-heartedness. So yes, we must understand that knowledge and renunciations are inseparable parts of the path of bhakti. But we must understand properly, under able guidance, how to execute renunciation and knowledge in a way that it actually awakens our Krishna consciousness. And that means simply by executing devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he gave us a very simple formula. Just follow it, you'll go back to Godhead. Just chant at least 16 rounds. Just read his books. Just rise early in the morning, take bath, come for the Mangal Arati, worship Tulsi, hear Srimad Bhagavatam each day, perform the Guru Puja of the spiritual master, do some humble seva, maybe cleaning, maybe cooking, maybe preaching, maybe the book distribution, maybe raising your family, maybe performing your occupational duty and dedicating the fruits of your action to Krishna's service. And when he saw devotees going too much into various forms of study and renunciation, he cautioned them. It's dangerous. Just follow the process. As the spiritual master is giving, just follow the process. And those who follow the process are still here 30 years later. Steady, faithful. And those who try to be something spectacular as pandits or tapasis, most of them are either teaching in some college for money with very little faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, or others, we have seen some of our godbrothers, really severe renunciates. And since then they've had 3 different consecutive wives, 7 or 8 children. Hare Krishna. Just be steady, just be faithful, just follow the process of Krishna consciousness. And automatically the realizations of perfect renunciation and knowledge take place. And what is devotional service? To take shelter of Krishna means to do everything in the mood of the servant of his servants to please him. It's very simple. Just try to please Krishna. Prabhupada wanted us to preach. Prabhupada wanted us to worship the deities, to chant sincerely, to study his books. It's very simple. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutam. If the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna will give you everything. If the spiritual master is not pleased, it doesn't matter what efforts you make, you will never come to the conclusion. Just see how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what a statement he made. He was the greatest scholar in the world. He was a living, walking encyclopedia of knowledge. And yet he accepted as a spiritual master Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who had no education. In fact, he hardly knew the process of reading and writing. But yet he accepted that because of his sincere devotional service, all knowledge was revealed to him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur considered Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj the embodiment, the personification of knowledge of the absolute truth. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was very, very humble. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him for initiation, he said, "You're a great scholar. You're a scholar of philosophy, scholar of astrology, scholar of theology, Bengali, Hindi, English." Such a vocabulary he had. Even great scholars from Oxford University in England don't have a vocabulary like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Not only did he have such a broad spectrum of usage of words, but such sublime, unique realizations of how each word applied to pure devotional service in the English language. And here was just Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who was just a simple merchant. He was just a simple grain merchant, Grihastha. His wife died, he went to Vrindavan and surrendered to Krishna. But yet Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur approached him, that unless you are my Guru Maharaj, I cannot approach Krishna. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "You're a great scholar, I'm just a simple man. I don't know all these things. How can I initiate you? How I can be your authority? How I can teach you? Impossible. You should find some suitable person. Besides, I've already decided I'm not qualified. I can never take a disciple. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati approached him on several occasions. And on one occasion, he actually was weeping tears. His heart was utterly broken. He said, if I don't have you as my spiritual master, then I have no reason to continue my life. He was not speaking as some sort of a strategic way of convincing him. He was speaking from the core of his heart, because Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he could see right through anyone's pretensions. He was mystically empowered to go right into a person's heart. If anyone was pretentious, and they were pretending to be one way, but actually in their heart they were something else, he would expose them with great, great enthusiasm. There was a famous speaker of Bhagavatam who was making disciples all around. And one time he was in his bhajan kutir in the middle of the night, and he started screaming out, "Rascal, rascal, I know what you're doing. You're alone having sex with that widow." Everybody woke up. So, "What are you saying, Babaji Maharaj?" "Ah, he's a rascal, go look." They went, and sure enough, he was in a secret place, some widow's house. So he saw right through people. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was genuine, that I have no reason to continue my life if I don't have a connection with the spiritual master. I will end my life. I see no purpose of breathing any longer. Then Gaurakishore Das Babaji, he accepted him, yes. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would write articles about him. The living personification, the embodiment of knowledge, of realization of Krishna. Simple man. He didn't get it from studying books. He got it from humble service and offenseless pure chanting of the holy names. So certainly, it is a very important factor of our devotional service to try to deeply understand with our intelligence the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to carefully study our scriptures. That is Prabhupada's order to us. But we shouldn't think that this is what is going to give us realization. It's not even what's going to really give us faith. The knowledge that we get, we have to apply to the spirit of humble service, to the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, and our parampara. We have to chant offenselessly. That's what's going to bring about real faith and realization. Srila Prabhupada quotes how mystical the process of Krishna consciousness is in the sense of how it transforms people's hearts. That the qualities of God and the demigods all manifest within the body of one who surrenders to Krishna. And he gives the example of the hunter, Magrari. What was his qualification? He became very deeply learned and renounced because he just followed the instruction of Narada Muni. What a transformation of heart. From a ruthless murderer to the most gentle, loving sage. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally told this story. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives an example, it means it has a great impact on the whole world, if we understand it. Magrari was half-killing animals, torturing them to a slow, miserable death. But yet, after Narada Muni gave blessings And he decided to serve his Guru Maharaj and chant the holy names of the Lord and worship Tulsi. Just follow the process of Krishna consciousness. That's all he did. He took shelter. He became so gentle, he would not even hurt an ant. And even the great, great sage, Parvat Muni, was glorifying. What kind of a great Paramhamsa this Magrari has become. And he was still a householder, living with his family and children. That is the power of bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to that brahmachari Brahman, who was very learned, very austere, only drank milk, said, it's not by austerities, it's not by cultivation of knowledge that you can understand Krishna. It's only by devotional service. What austerities did Gajendra perform? What austerities did the gopis perform? But yet, they perfected renunciation because they wholeheartedly took shelter of Krishna. That's what bhakti is about, taking shelter of Krishna through service, through his devotees. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, in the end you just mentioned about gopis didn't perform austerities to attain love of Krishna. But we also hear that in their previous lives they were great rishis who were performing austerities, and due to a desire to serve the Lord, that's why they were born as gopis. Now, the question is, does austerities not have any value? Because we also hear that along with devotional service, we should embrace some austerities so that we can progress faster.
Without austerity, there can be no devotional service. Follow the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Don't criticize others. Don't talk nonsense. Eat what's best for you to keep body and soul together. Don't have sense gratification beyond what is authorized within your ashram. These are austerities within devotional service. It's an integral, essential part of devotional service. If you do not do it, you cannot make proper spiritual advancement. But it's authorized. But what is the purpose of it? Not to become austere, not to become renounced, not that we're just putting our attention on becoming great tapasis. We're simply doing what's favorable for devotional service and rejecting what's unfavorable for devotional service. And you don't know, and I don't know. Krishna knows, and the acharyas know, so we follow them. There are so many great tapasis. A certain segment of the gopis came from those great sages of Dandakaranya. But how many millions of sages didn't become gopis? It wasn't their austerities. It was that they surrendered to Ram wholeheartedly with their hearts and begged for his mercy that he gave them the opportunity to become gopis in their next lives. It wasn't their renunciation, it was their surrender. Surrender is true renunciation. Surrender of one's ego to the pleasure of Krishna. That is real renunciation. So a brahmachari should be simple. He should be renounced. Grihastha should be simple. They should be renounced. But the renunciation is simply will accept whatever renunciation is necessary and favorable to making advancement in Krishna consciousness. Our purpose is simply devotional service. Everything's included in devotional service if we follow properly. But if we try to follow something beyond, it simply causes disturbance. That Rupa Goswami, very beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that pure devotional service is untinged by jnana and karma. Everything should simply be for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, pleasing Guru, pleasing Vaishnavas. That's all. That's the real austerity. If you're willing to give up so much for the purpose of better serving the Vaishnavas, that is glorious. But if you think that just by giving up things you're going to make spiritual advancement, you're not. But if that's part of the process of pleasing the Vaishnavas, then you'll make great spiritual advancement by doing it. Is that clear? Yes, Prabhu, one more question.
Maharaj, sometimes we find that in the course of doing the services, it's like a whole day spends out, and at the end of the day you don't find really time to study. So, but the studying is also really important for preaching and for our own understanding. So, you know, balancing, sometimes it is possible, sometimes many days just pass by, you don't balance it out. So Maharaj, how to go about it, especially as a brahmachari?
You should organize your day so that you have proper time for all your spiritual needs. You require time to chant your japa. You require time to hear the message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to use our intelligence and make a balance of our various devotional activities. Of course, if we're specifically ordered to do a particular service, then we should just do it and understand that all realization will come simply by pleasing Guru and Vaishnavas. But on a regular basis, we should organize our life so that we have time for all of our spiritual necessities. And reading from Prabhupada's books is one of those spiritual necessities. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.